Akro. It's me, Mubarak Kenya, saying goodbye for now.
You. What about you? IRIB English Radio.
Let's recite the Quran.
وَإِذَا قَرَأْتَ الْقُرْآنَ جَعَلْنَا بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَ الَّذِينَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْآخِرَةِ حِجَابًا مَسْتُورًا.
الْقُرْآنُ نُورٌ وَبَيَانٌ. الْقُرْآنُ هَدْيُ الْإِيمَانِ. الْقُرْآنُ مِسْكُ الْخِتَامِ. يا قرآن عليك سلام.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Welcome to this episode of Let's Recite the Quran. My name is Brother Muhammad, and with me in the studio we have Brother Masoom, Brother Hassan and Hussein, and we're missing Ali. Wherever you are, Brother Ali, we miss you a lot in this studio, in this episode at least. And inshallah, in this episode, we will be beginning a new chapter, chapter number 71 of the Noble Quran, Surah An-Nuh. This is talking about the tabligh and the tabyeen of deen and the dissemination of the religion and the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala done by Prophet Nuh and the struggles he had in this pathway. Inshallah, I'll ask Brother Masoom to please recite the first verse of Surah Nuh for us. Brother Masoom, Bismillah.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إنا أرسلنا نوحا إلى قومه أن أنذر قومك من قبل أن يأتيهم عذاب أليم.
أحسنتم. Very beautiful. إنا. What kind of a mad is this? First of all, we have a غنة for the noon, right? And the غنة is because
نون مشدد.
Exactly. غنة basically means a small stretch and a nasal sound. Over here, whenever we have a noon that is intense, mushadda, that has a shadda, a small W basically on top of it, we do a ghunna on top of it. Inna, originally it would have been inna, we say inna, right? But then we also have a med following that. What kind of a med is this?
It's
med means stretch.
It's jaiz.
It's a jaiz med. How many can we open? How many can we stretch? How many counts can we stretch this to?
4 to 6 counts.
4 to even 6 counts. It's up to us, but try to keep it consistent whenever you're trying to decide on the type, on the number of stretches. Keep that in mind, that you should try to be consistent to make your recitation beautiful. Inna arsalna nuhan ila. Why didn't I say nuhan ila?
Because it's idhar.
Idhar. So there is no ruling that can imply ghunna for us to say, okay, it is ikhfa, let's do ghunna, a stretch and a nasal sound, or idgham, none of it. It's just a normal idhar. Nuhan ila qawmihi, qawmihi. Keep in mind, this is a tafkhim letter, not qawmihi. Qawmihi, a rounded mouth and a heavy sound, right? In this case, from this point onwards, there is a tricky recitation. Tell me which one is correct. I'll give you 3 recitations. Tell me which one is correct. An-anzir. First one. Second one is an-anzir. Third one is an-anzir. Which one is the correct?
Second one.
Second one. And why so?
Because first it's idhar, an-an. And then we have akhfa, which
exactly.
Is an-anzir.
Exactly. So the difference between the recitation is basically the two noons that we have in the recitation, anzir. There are two noons. One is for the an, and the other is for the anzir, right? The first noon, there is no way and there is no ruling that implies we go for a ghunna. There is no nasal sound, there is no stretch, there is no ikhfa, there is no idgham. Because idgham basically means that we need to have a yarmalun letter after noon, and ikhfa, and we will touch upon ikhfa in just a minute, we need to have a mouth letter after it, right? Now, a is not a mouth letter. A is a letter that comes normally from the chest. A, mm-hmm. a, right? So, an is a normal idhar, normal recitation as the default. Now, anzir is ikhfa. The reason is that we have a noon sakin. Ikhfa basically says, the ruling of ikhfa tells us that whenever we have a noon sakin or tanween, after which we have a mouth letter, in this case we have the, right? Whenever we have such a situation, we do ikhfa. Ikhfa means silencing the sound of noon, right? And applying ghunna. Ghunna means a small stretch and a nasal sound. Anzir. Inna arsalna Nuhan ila qawmihi an anzir qawmaka min qabl. Once again, ikhfa. Min qabl. Qaf again is a tafkhim letter. Rounded mouth and a heavy sound. Min qabl. And ba is what here? Sakin, right? Whenever we have qutub, jat, qaf, ta, ba, jim, and dal, any of these letters, and they're sakin, what ruling do we apply, Brother Masoom?
Qalqala.
Qalqala. Qalqala means an echoing sound on them, yes, to distinguish the differences between the sounds of these letters. Originally, it would have been min qabli. Min qabli.
Min qabli.
In this case, it's even difficult to recite without qalqala, exactly. Right? Min qabli. That was the original recitation. But after the application of ikhfa for noon and qalqala for ba, we say min qabli. The ba, ba, ba. There is a small echoing sound. Make sure you don't give it a haraka. You don't give it a vowel. You don't say qabali or qabili. Keep it with sukun but an echo. Min qabli an ya'tiyahum. Over here we also have a ghunna, but this ghunna is not for ikhfa. This ghunna is for
idgham.
Idgham of noon and ya. We did mention that idgham means that whenever we have a noon sakin or a tanween, and after that we have any of the yarmalun letters, ya, ra, mim, lam, waw, and noon letters. Any of these letters, we apply the ruling of idgham. Idgham means merging the noon with the letter that comes afterwards, which is the yarmalun letters. In this case, we do the idgham with ghunna, the nasal sound and a little bit of a stretch. Why? Because any of the yarmalun letters, excluding the ra and lam, whenever we do idgham, we also do a ghunna for them. قَبْلِ أَن يَأْتِيَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. أحسنتم Brother Masoom.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
In the name of Allah, the entirely merciful, the especially merciful.
إِنَّا أَرْسَلْنَا نُوحًا إِلَىٰ قَوْمِهِ أَنْ أَنذِرْ قَوْمَكَ مِنْ قَبْلِ أَنْ يَأْتِيَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ.
Indeed, we sent Noah to his people, saying, warn your people before there comes to them a painful punishment.
Brother Hassan, I'll kindly ask you to recite, please, the verses 2 and 3 of Surah An-Nuh.
قَالَ يَا قَوْمِ إِنِّي لَكُمْ نَذِيرٌ مُّبِينٌ أَنِ اعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ وَاتَّقُوهُ وَأَتِيعُونَ.
أحسنتم, a very beautiful recitation. Now, قَالَ يَا قَوْمِ إِنِّي, it is what a nun mushadda, right? A nun mushadda means what? What ruling in the recitation of Tajweed do we apply for nun mushadda? Ghunna. A nasal sound and a little bit of a stretch.
Yes.
Right? Qala ya qaw. Keep in mind, qalat qala. Qala. Tafkhim letter. Qaf is a tafkhim letter. Ya qawmi. Do you remember the tafkhim letters, Brother Masoom?
Yes.
What was the key word I gave to you in the previous episodes?
Khussa.
Yeah, khussa.
Dagatin qidh. Where is ra?
Ra is not, remember, ra is not always tafkhim. Sometimes we have a tarqiq for ra. Whenever there is kasra on ra, or the kasra before ra and the ra itself is sukoon, we go for tarqiq. That's why it's not in the full mouth letters list all the time. It is not in the tafkhim letters list all the time. Likewise, lam, for the word Allah, we do tafkhim in certain places and we do tarqiq in the other places. And if we do reach that situation in our recitation, inshallah, and we do have it, we're going to mention those. Qala ya qawmi, both the qaf in qala and qawm are tafkhim letters. Rounded mouth and a heavy recitation. Inni lakum nadhirun mubin. It was originally nadhirun mubin. But after the ruling of idgham, right, Brother Hassan?
Yes.
The idgham of noon and meem. The noon of the tanween of nadhirun and the meem of mubin. After the idgham, the noon is dropped, merged with the meem, and we give it a ghunna sound, right? A nasal sound and a little bit of a stretch. Lakum nadhirun mubin, right? Mm-hmm. Now, the ruling of the lam of Allah. Ani'budullah. You see, before the lam of Allah, we have what? What is the haraka? What is the vowel before the lam of Allah, Brother Hassan?
Vowel.
Haraka. Look at the vowel before. Vowel is sakin. There is no haraka. It's just a med.
Yes.
We have what?
Sakin.
No, come on.
Before That's Allah or?
Before the lam of Allah, the middle lam of Allah, what is it's the first vowel that we have there? Dhamma. Dhamma. Right? أَنِعْبُدُ اللَّهِ Right? قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهِ Anytime we have a fatha or dhamma before the lamb of Allah, we do tafkhim of the lamb of Allah. We recite it with a rounded mouth and a heavy voice. أَنِعْبُدُ اللَّهِ قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهِ Fatha before lamb, هُوَ اللَّهِ أَنِعْبُدُ اللَّهِ Dhamma before lamb. But if we have kasra before the lamb of Allah, we go tarqiq, meaning a flattened recitation. Lillahi. Lillahi ma fi samawati wa ma fi al-ard. Lillahi. Right? So, lam of Allah and the ra have different situations whereby they are done tafkhim and tarqiq of, and the lam of Allah, I just did mention about it. Ani'budu allaha wa attaquhu wa ati'un qaf and ta. Keep in mind again, tafkhim letters.
قال يا قوم إني لكم نذير مبين.
He said, O my people, indeed I am to you a clear warner.
أن اعبدوا الله واتقوه وأطيعون.
Saying, worship Allah, fear him and obey me.
Then the final verse of this episode for Surah Nuh, I'll ask Brother Hussein to please recite verse number 4 of the chapter 71 of the Noble Quran.
يغفر لكم من ذنوبكم ويؤخركم إلى أجل مسمى إن أجل الله إذا جاء لا يؤخر لو كنتم تعلمون.
I sent them. There are many points I want to touch upon, and maybe there are one or two corrections in your recitation. But in the interest of time, we'll just keep the correct recitation for the last part of this episode. يغفر لكم. يغفر لكم. Ra over here is no longer tafkhim. The ghain is, yes, but not the ra. Why? Ra is sakin, and before that ra, we have a kasra.
Kasra, yes.
يغفر لكم, not يغفر لكم. Don't round and give it a heavy voice. يَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ مِنْ ذُنُوبِكُمْ Again, there is a ghunna for both meem and noon of the min. لَكُمْ مِنْ ذُنُوبِ Why is that so? We have the idgham of meem. مِثْلَيْن لَكُمْ مِنْ Right? So we do the ghunna here. And then إِخْفَاء of noon because we have dhunubikum after that, right? Keep that in mind. وَيُؤَخِّرُكُمْ إِلَىٰ أَجَلٍ مُسَمَّى. Again, over here is idgham of noon and meem, and then meem mushadda, right? إِنَّ أَجَلَ اللَّهِ, the tafkhim of Allah because of the fatha before that. إِذَا جَاءَ. What kind of a mad is this, Brother Hussein?
It's a wajib muttasil.
Wajib muttasil, meaning six counts. Six counts. إِذَا جَاءَ, right? لا يؤخر. Again, تفخيم letters خاء and را, both of them تفخيم letters. لو كنتم, again إخفاء, the noon, كنتم, we give it a غنة, تعلمون.
يغفر لكم من ذنوبكم ويؤخركم إلى أجل مسمى. إن أجل الله إذا جاء لا يؤخر لو كنتم تعلمون.
Allah will forgive you of your sins and delay you for a specified term. Indeed, the time set by Allah, when it comes, will not be delayed, if you only knew.
Let's recite the first four verses of Surah Nuh together, inshallah. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إنا أرسلنا نوحا إلى قومه أن أنذر قومك من قبل أن يأتيهم عذاب أليم.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إنا أرسلنا نوحا إلى قومه أن أنذر قومك من قبل أن يأتيهم عذاب أليم.
قال يا قوم إني لكم نذير مبين.
قال يا قوم إني لكم نذير مبين
أن اعبدوا الله واتقوه وأطيعون.
أن اعبدوا الله واتقوه وأطيعون
يغفر لكم من ذنوبكم ويؤخركم إلى أجل مسمى إن أجل الله إذا جاء لا يؤخر لو كنتم تعلمون.
يغفر لكم من ذنوبكم ويؤخركم إلى أجل مسمى إن أجل الله إذا جاء لا يؤخر لو كنتم تعلمون.
صدق الله العلي العظيم.
صدق الله العلي العظيم.
And that was the beautiful recitation of the first four verses of Surah Nuh, chapter number 71 of the Noble Quran. And this will conclude this episode, inshallah. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
Let's recite the Quran, a joint production of IRIB English Radio and Xavier International School.
ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور. آيات
تستقيم حياتنا إلا به. هو القرآن والفرقان، إليه تنصت الأكوان، وفيه تعطر الآذان
for the light, and you see no hope in sight. Be sure and have no doubt, He is always close to you. He's the one who knows you best. He knows what's in your heart. You'll find your peace at last if you just have faith in Him.
You're always in my heart and mind. Your name is mentioned every day. You no matter what, my biggest wish is to see you one day. 'Cause I believe, I believe, I believe. Do you believe? Oh, oh, oh. Do you believe?
'Cause I used to be so full of love and harmony. He fought for peace and liberty, and never would he hurt anything. He was a mercy for mankind, a teacher till the end of time. A creature could be compared with Him, so full of light and blessings.
You're always in my heart and mind. Your name is mentioned every day.
Have a good time. This is Iran Radio, and here are some interesting facts about Islam. The Islamic world produced the first skilled, specially trained pharmacists who made their own medicines and worked closely with medical doctors and physicians. A 13th century Islamic writer described the circulation of blood inside the human body some 400 years before this was discovered in Europe. One famous hadith Islamic saying is, Allah is beautiful and loves beauty. Beauty has always been, therefore, very important to Muslims and develops in the virtual arts such as architecture, calligraphy, painting, textile, metalwork, and ceramists were encouraged. Greetings once again, dear listeners, and thank you very much for listening to Iran Radio, coming to you from Tehran, the capital of the Islamic Republic of Iran. Let's take a quick look at what's coming up next on today's broadcast. We begin with A to Z of Life. After that, we present a specially selected edition of Radio Productions. Then stay tuned for Foresight, hosted by Sayyid Shahryar Naqvi. This enlightening program features prominent English-speaking scholars from across the Islamic world, focusing on the practical dimensions of worship and servitude to Allah, all within the context of modern-day challenges. It's an invitation to explore the intersection of faith and real-life responsibility. And finally, we bring you Ulama's speech. Coming up next, A to Z of Life. Stay with us. There is much to discover.
This is A to Z. An introduction into an Islamic lifestyle. Today's lesson, not being a burden. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, welcome to A to Z here on Iron Being Shred with me, Sister Zainab. And so not being a burden, it's not being a burden. So this is the a sort of attitude of not wanting people to, in a sense, do too much for us. Because many of us, especially as Muslims, you know, if we have the chance, if we have people as guests, or if we have, you know, if we have family members around us, friends, or maybe even just other, you know, fellow students, colleagues at uni or in the workplace, you know, we sometimes rush to help because it's something we want to do. Some of us maybe because we also know that, oh, this is good, I should help, I have the chance to help, wonderful. And you know, there we are trying to do things and we're almost chasing after the opportunities to help, which is actually a really beautiful attitude to have, by the way. But you know, there's other things. And then at the same time, then when it concerns us, we're almost trying to run away from people trying to help us. And, you know, I've talked about this a little bit before, but there's a particular anecdote I want to tell you. Actually, two little anecdotes. They shed light on this in a slightly different way. One is from the life of one of Hame's martyrs from the Holy Offense, Saeed Jan Buzurgi. So, for example, and this sort of rings very true with me, especially with the anecdote from my life I'll give you shortly. And so he, for example, he never wanted to be a burden on other people in any way. So he'd bought some bracelets for his wife. And this is when his wife and himself, you know, they weren't living in the same house together yet. So he brought her some bracelets. And then as soon as he'd given her the bracelets, he sort of almost ran off, basically, from her parents' house. And why did he do this? He didn't want her father or her uncle, who were present in the house, be put out by trying to give him a ride home, because for sure they were going to try to offer him a ride home in the evening. Welcome back to Aid Said here on I'm Being Shred with me, Sister Zainab. And so I'm talking about this, I have been talking about the idea that we sometimes just don't want to put other people out, and we run from this situation where they might be put out. And I've just mentioned the wonderful martyr, Saeed Jan Buzurgi, who was at his wife's family's house, and after giving her a present, had run from the house so that his wife's father, her uncle, couldn't sort of then offer him a ride home in the car, in the car, basically. And look, I myself have been in a situation where I had sort of been to some rosa at the family house of one of my best friends. One of my best friends is not in this country, but her, I'd visited her parents' house for the rosa. And the first time I went, many of us stayed just a little bit longer and we were offered some fruit and so on. And then the parents were insistent that they had to offer me a ride home. And, you know, I sort of realized that this is what something they really wanted to do. So I accepted it. And my friend later explained to me that this is indeed customary, that, you know, they offer the closest friends and family members. They really enjoy taking everyone back home in their car. But then by the second rosé, you know, I have to admit, I employed the tactic of the martyr sage and Mazorgi. So I made sure I left the rosé afterwards at a good time, so I didn't stay, and I sort of obviously made excuses. And in fact, I did have an excuse. I was going to the martyr cemetery just for a quick ziyarat, basically, and I basically bolted. So I basically got out and I bolted. I sort of was very fast, and even with that, the wonderful father of my friend was here. He was waiting outside the apartment block, and sort of even got in the car, and he was almost pursuing me to make sure that I didn't need a ride home. So may Allah bless him many times. And these are real life situations, and, you know, and it's just a reminder that, yeah, look, sometimes we have to let people do this for us and accept the rides. And, you know, but may Allah bless all the people who just want to help and are so wonderful in sort of going out of their way. And so I pray that maybe you recognize some situations from your own life in what I've said today. And yeah, may all of us accept some of these beautiful offers, and may maybe also just we give thanks and blessings to everyone who is sort of just offering all their help the whole time. And that was it for today. And I look forward to welcoming you to another episode of AZ here on Iron Bingish Radio. And farewell for today. Thank you very much for listening to this episode of A to Z. And for more information, please also visit our website at www.iranradio.ir.
Comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
Tawakkul comes from the root word wakala. Wakala means
to... Today, I'd like to read to you an excerpt from...
Allah is the unique Arabic name.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed.
His decree, though, we learn...
This is Foresight, a program on how to worship Allah. Today's tip, worship as a 24-hour pharmacy. Welcome back, listeners. This is Foresight on IRIB English Radio. So we are talking about how worship is a 24-hour pharmacy. So, of course, our ubudiyah, our worship, our servitude, and our obedience to the Almighty Allah is something that is really part and parcel of our existence. As the Holy Quran says, that the reason for the creation of human beings and of the jinn is in order for them to worship the Almighty Allah. And so, of course, this means that our essential and our fundamental and our principal purpose and goal in life is this worship and this servitude and this obedience and this ubudiyah to the Almighty Allah. Now, keeping this in mind, we realize that, of course, our worship and our ubudiyah is not really of any benefit to the Almighty Allah. The Almighty Allah, the Exalted, the Glorified, He is in no need of our worship and our ubudiyah. Matter of fact, what's really interesting is that this ubudiyah, this worship, this servitude, and this obedience to the Almighty Allah is actually for our own benefit. We see that there are many psychological benefits, there are many physical benefits, there are many spiritual benefits, of course, when we engage in ubudiyah. And what's really beautiful is that even though the Almighty Allah is not in need of our ubudiyah, our worship, our servitude, and our obedience to Allah, and even though it is for our own benefit, whether it is psychological or physical or spiritual, still the Almighty Allah, in His beneficence, in His magnanimity, in His mercifulness, in His graciousness, He has even put so many rewards when it comes to ubudiyah and to the worship and to the servitude and to the obedience to the Almighty Allah. It really shows you the grace and the love that Allah, the Exalted, the Glorified, has for every single one of us and for human beings and for all of creation. Now, when we're talking about worship and we're talking about ubudiyah, it is like a 24-hour pharmacy. So what we mean is that all of the cures to our ills are available at this pharmacy. But unlike the pharmacy, you know, of the world, which has a certain specific, you know, time that you have to go, it closes at a certain time, it opens at a certain time. This pharmacy, which can and does cure any and all of the ills that an individual might have, it is open 24 hours. And what's interesting, sure, there are some places in the world where even pharmacies are now 24 hours, but those pharmacies will not cure any and all of the ills that we have.
IRIB English Radio. Please follow our radio programs and podcasts on iranradio.ir.
And now we will listen to Sheikh Zayd As-Salami, who will talk about today's topic.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum, my young brothers and sisters. We live in a society that is going really fast. Technology and advancement is going at such a quick pace, we can't even catch up. There are a lot of good things that we are now able to use that we didn't have years ago. The computer, internet, mobile phone. We can learn, we can educate. A lot of positive things we're able to benefit from. But at the same time, there are certain things that we need to be aware of. And these things are not going to help us in our spiritual growth as human beings, in our moral understanding as citizens of a society. And as Muslims, we always know that we have a responsibility and duty, not only towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but towards our own self. We need to keep our hearts as pure as possible. We need to keep our eyes away from the committing of any kind of sin. On the internet, where everyone uses nowadays, there might be some things that out of curiosity you might come across, accidentally you might see, and they are images or clips of naked people. This is called pornography in some times, and you need to be aware and alert on what to do should you come across certain images. How are you going to react? What are you going to do? Are you going to use search engines for good, or are you going to use the internet and browse into other sites for the bad? As a Muslim, you need to be aware of what is good for you and what is bad. And that's why you always need to be cautious. You always need to make sure that you monitor yourself. And when there are signs of warning that you need to be responsible for, then make sure you are aware of what it is that you need to do. Everyone has Wi-Fi and laptops and mobile phones and iPads and all these other things nowadays. And at the same time, you might have a friend that might want to show you something. But you need to know children as young as 10 are exposed to pornography. And when someone is exposed to these kind of things at a young age, it's never good. You know, as a Muslim, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching you when you're in your room by yourself, when nobody is around watching you, your parents aren't there, there's no guardian, there's no parental control or no lock system, but you need to be accountable and responsible yourself. Because when you grow up and when you mature, everything is going to be given to you in its due time. Sexuality is not something that Islam frowns upon, but it's a very, very private area. It's not something that you want to get yourself into if you're a young child, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. And even if you were an adult, one of the biggest epidemics that we have in today's society is porn addiction, where one thing leads to another thing, then leads to another. One image leads to another clip, then that leads to something else. And it's a plague. It's going to pollute your heart. It's going to affect your spirits, and it's going to destroy and damage your soul. You're even going to start looking at things in a different way. So please be careful. Speak with your parents about this. Speak with your siblings about this. Educate yourself about the harms and dangers of internet usage. And by doing so, you'll be able to live a good life, a positive life, a spiritual life, all under the shadow of Almighty God, remembering that not only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching you, but you always want to make sure that your imams, peace be upon them, in particular your 12th imam, Imam Al-Hujjat ibn Hassan, ajalallah ta'ala farajuhu sharif, is proud of you and what you do, whether you are in the public or whether you are all by yourself. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين.
Welcome back, dear friends. So we're talking about how worship and ubudiyah and the servitude and the obedience to the Almighty Allah is a 24-hour pharmacy. So any individual, any human being, any person can have communion and communication and establish a connection and a relationship with Allah the Exalted and the Glorified at any time, under any circumstance, and without any prior arrangement or mediation or appointment. And that is so beautiful that we have such, you know, free access to the Almighty Allah, the Exalted, the Creator. And when you look at the unimaginable status of the Almighty God, it really is humbling, and it really makes you incredibly happy as well that such a creator, such a God, such a majestic Allah, the Exalted, the Magnified, the Glorified, has given us the opportunity to be able to connect with Him at any time, under any circumstance. When you look at, you know, the doctors or the psychologists or, you know, anybody in a certain profession, they have very limited, you know, times that they are available. You have to make appointments, then you have to wait, you know, to see an individual who is going to help you. But here, you know, the supreme existence, the existent, the independent existent, the creator of all the worlds, the most powerful, the most knowledgeable, you know, the creator of absolutely everything, is giving us the opportunity to speak with Him, to communicate with Him, to have communion with Him, to establish a relationship with Him at any time and under any circumstance and without any prior arrangement or timing or any kind of a appointment and things like that. You know, we also, though, find that there are special times that we should have this communion with the Almighty Allah. You know, the time of dawn or the sunset on the day of Friday, after the deliverance of the Friday prayer sermons, when it is raining, the night of power, Laylatul Qadr. All of these are special occasions which the, you know, the spiritual realm and the material realm, I guess, have a stronger connection with one another. And there's a special importance given to these times and these days for supplication and for worship and for ubudiyah. But of course, in general, you know, they are not confined to these things. And worship is really, it is, and ubudiyah in general, it is the medicine for all of our ills, it is the medicine for all of our problems, for our negligence, for our oblivion, for our disobedience, for our depression, for our anxiety, for our stress. And ultimately, it is this 24-hour pharmacy known as ubudiyah, which brings us closer to the Almighty Allah. Thank you very much for listening to this episode of the program, Foresight. For more information, visit our website at iranradio.ir. Until another episode, God bless you and fi amanillah. Oh.
Fiqh or jurisprudence is an Islamic knowledge and is ranked
The Holy Prophet of Islam is the example
of
Self-purification is the most significant
factor.
Imamat is a living principle in the history of Islam and Shiism.
This is Ulama Speech, the best selection of the speeches of prominent Shia scholars.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. Well, welcome to another episode of the program Ulama's Speech. In this episode, we invite you to listen to the English translation of a short Farsi speech by Hujjatul Islam Qaraati. Please stay tuned.
و اما چرا شب؟ در قرآن شب یه جایگاه خاصی داره.
But why does the night hold a special place in the Quran? When the Prophet, peace be upon him and his family, was to undertake the night journey or Isra, it was at night. He took his servants by night. When Moses, peace be upon him, was to receive the Torah, he was told, and we appointed for Moses 30 nights and completed them with another 10. This is mentioned in the Holy Quran, Surah 7, Ayah 142. God has sworn by all the segments of time, once by the dawn, once by tonight, by the even and the odd, and by the night and its departs, and once by all the time, and once by the time, also by the morning. But he has sworn by the night and the pre-dawn morning several times, and by the night when it closes in, and by the night when it departs. All of these mean when the night ends, meaning the oath is by the pre-dawn hours. The night is very important in the Holy Quran. The Quran states, they recite the ayahs of Allah during the hours of the night. This is mentioned in the Holy Quran, Surah 3, Ayah 113. To the Prophet it says, and from part of the night, pray with it, that is the Quran, as an additional prayer or tahajjud. This is mentioned in the Quran, Surah 17, Ayah 79. In summary, the night has a significant place in the religion of Islam and in the text of the Holy Quran. Thank you very much, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, for listening through the program Ulama's Speech, which was the English translation of a short Farsi speech by Hujjatul Islam Qaraati. To find out more about this program and our other programs, please log on to our website, iranradio.ir. We leave you in Allah's care and goodbye.
Greetings from Iran Radio. Here's a quick look at what's still ahead on your favorite station, thoughtfully curated to keep you informed, inspired, and connected. We begin with news. Right after the news, we invite you to listen to Spring of Truth. Next, enjoy a fresh edition of Radio Productions. Then stay tuned for Leader's Speech. Coming up next, news this hour. Stay with us.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.
A reminder of our top stories, Israel has sparked alarm after announcing it will open the Rafah crossing only to let Palestinians leave Gaza. Pakistan and Afghanistan military forces once again exchange fire along their border areas. Both neighbors accuse one another of starting the clashes. And the Venezuelan president dismisses the U.S. military threats against his country as acts of imperialist aggression and violation of international law.
Live from Tehran, I am Bahman Nouri, and this is news.
In yet another violation of the ceasefire in the Gaza Strip, Israeli warplanes have carried out fresh airstrikes across the Palestinian territory. At least 20 strikes were reported, hitting northern and southern areas, eastern Gaza City and the Al-Maghazi refugee camp in central Gaza. A civil defense worker died after succumbing to injuries from a strike near Al-Ibat Mosque in Beit Lahia. Since the ceasefire took effect in October, more than 360 Palestinians, most of them women and children, have been killed in Israeli attacks. The overall toll from the U.S.-Israeli genocidal war, which began in October 2023, has now climbed to over 70,100.